We are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
What up, you guys? I'm Ray. I'm from We the North. I love to ice fish. I'll do some hockey, I'll do some wrestling, and I'll do some football. That's what I do because I'm an alpha male, and when you go to the bar, I'm shotgunning a beer. You guys are drinking wine and ordering an IPA.
Ray, what kind of bait you use when you ice fish?
That's top lure.
Got him.
All right, man, we got a lot to get to, but first we got to play the game, the Sweep in America. Would you rather?
Game on!
Would you rather live the left?
hey, hit the stinger again.
Hit it again. Sorry.
What game are we going to play?
Would you rather?
Would you rather live the rest of your life as a monk or followed by paparazzi all the time?
So the monks, they don't speak, right? They just kind of like live in a mountain and don't say anything?
Or
would you take a vow of silence?
Yeah, and then you...
Or just get chased by the paparazzi. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm going to say chased by the paparazzi. When I watch the stuff on E!, maybe your magazines, with Kim Kardashian and them getting followed by the paps, you just tell them to get away from you. That's why you have security. They keep them 10 feet away from you. Sure, they take pictures. If you don't want your kids photographed, throw a bed sheet over them. I don't care what you have to do, but it's not that big of a deal running from the paparazzi. Boom, go through an alley. You ever heard of ducking into a murdered out SUV? There's ways to get away from them. Wear a disguise, put on some sunglasses, get away from the paps. Who cares about them? They're irrelevant. Like, they're a non-factor, and I would easily avoid them if I lived in LA. I don't know the streets of LA, but I would learn them.
So I think that I'm a social person. My personality is social. I like talking to people. But deep inside, I'm a very peaceful, quiet person. Like, I like my time off. When I was younger, my dad bought this piece of land in the middle of nowhere. And I would go for, like, the weekend by myself and spend the whole weekend out there with nothing but nature. And I loved it. Like, I absolutely loved it. I don't know if I can do it for the rest of my life, Lunch. But I did like that moment. So I say I'd be a monk.
So a monk is a member of a religious community of men typically living under vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Okay, I'm gonna go with paparazzi. I don't know if I can do all that. I just thought they went into the mountains of Tibet.
I mean, it would get so old being chased by the paparazzi everywhere you go. They're following you and taking pictures, but at least you have you would never have to take a picture because your life is going to be documented for you. Like
family, a magazine or
family
whatever.
Family photos and everything and the history. People will be able to find everything. Your kids will grow up. Oh, I wonder what I looked like when I was 8. Well, just Google yourself because you're going to be wherever they put the paparazzi pictures.
And think, if you were a monk, you can't ever. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts to me. That's a deal breaker.
I didn't think that would you rather was very difficult. The obvious option was getting followed by the paparazzi.
He said monk at first,
which
then
is
he
bizarre.
Switched.
There are some people that are monks, right? Like, they chose to be a monk.
Wow.
Like, think about that. The monks, they chose to be that.
But you realize where you live right now, you chose to live where you are. So there's a lot of things you change that are huge in your life. I mean, that's crazy that he chose to be a monk, whoever does it. But
the monks?
But us choosing where we want to live, that's a huge thing. But imagine the monk thing. That's even bigger than where you live. Like, that's the biggest decision in your world.
That's a life-changing decision.
Wow.
That's who you've decided to be for the rest of your life.
Have you ever had a life-changing decision?
Yeah, when I got married. When I have a kid.
Dang! Yeah. When I moved here for this job.
Dang. That was life-changing.
That's a lot of life-changing.
Everything we've done like that, yeah.
You did the same thing. You moved here.
Dude, when I decided to drop out of my school in Chicago and transfer to Texas, life-changing event.
All of those.
Dang.
Dude, I never left Texas before we moved here to Nashville, and I drove off. My parents were at my house. They waved us off.
Wait,
goodbye.
You had never left the state of Texas?
No. I lived outside of the state of Texas. And even lived that far away from my parents, really, or any of my family. Dude, I remember driving away down the street from my neighborhood, hitting Mopac in Austin, Texas, the highway, and start bawling. like a baby.
Yeah, you like swerve over into another lane, some driver flips you the bird.
Like, my wife went to school at Colorado. Like, you know, she left in the state of Texas, you know, when
really
at some point. Yeah, that's where she went to college. Oh. But I had never left Texas before, dude. And I'm like thinking, dang it, I just picked up and we're moving to Tennessee for the first time in my life. I'm leaving Texas, and I cried like a baby.
I actually got my cry out the night before. That next day, I was ready to
change. You did cry, though?
Oh, dude, my boys took me out to the bar, and, dude, every drink they ordered me, I was like, that could be the last one I drink in Texas. Dude, I cried the whole night. I was like, guys, we got to end my going away party because I can't stop crying.
But, Lunchbox, you're, like, so tight with your family. Like,
oh, I cried.
Okay, you did
cry.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we
I
all cried.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
My bad. I thought I was the only
coach
one.
Coach cried on the interstate, swerving
dude,
into another
lane. Are you okay?
I may have cried driving out of the neighborhood and pulling on to I-35 or whatever.
Coach, come give me a hug.
And get away from me. Oh. And let me tell you, I was so nervous that I broke out in hives. Like, I was...
You were nervous? What were you nervous about,
though? Just... Well, I don't know if I was nervous, but moving... I never moved out of state. And so when I stopped in Memphis to spend the night before I got to Nashville, I was hived up all over my body. And I walked into Walgreens and she goes, you need some Benadryl. I mean, the girl just... Like she said,
as soon as she saw you.
As soon as she saw me, the girl goes, Benadryl's on aisle whatever.
You look like you're not from around here.
You ain't in Texas anymore, son. You're in Tennessee.
It was crazy. But, okay, let's just get to it. Because speaking of crying, I wanted to cry yesterday. And I know there's so many amazing finishes yesterday. You got the Miami Miracle, the...
We're already comparing it to the Music City Miracle. We're giving it a miracle
Coach,
name.
Miracle in Miami.
I believe it.
Yes.
That was a miracle, dude.
It was a miracle. That
I
was
loved
an
it.
Absolute miracle.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
But I want to start over there on the West Coast with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm going to talk about how they, I don't understand how they do what they do. They have so much talent on that team, and they never win.
I mean, I said that. I said that 2 weeks ago.
They underachieve all the time. And I know that we like Mike Tomlin because he's a rah-rah coach. I think he's a terrible football coach. I'm starting to think he's just a bad football coach. He doesn't. He can get them hyped up and he knows how to get them to play hard, but X's and O's and making adjustments, I don't know. And then yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they got a little cocky. That's a little bit of the problem. Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers are winning. They're winning. Ben Roethlisberger hurts his ribs. And so as they're winning, they keep Joshua Dobbs in there, the backup quarterback.
He's all right.
Right, he's all right, but they're doing nothing. And then they fall behind, and they're like, okay.
Put him back in.
Now Big Ben's good enough to come back in. If he's good enough to come back in.
He should have stayed there.
He should have stayed in there. He should have been in there from the minute he came back to the sideline to start the second half. If he's good enough to play, you need to win that game.
What happened? Did he get nailed in the ribs?
I didn't even see him get hurt.
I just didn't see it either.
Oh, he's hurt. You know, he's got a rib injury, and he came jogging back out. And I'm like, okay, good. He looks happy. He has his hat on. He's ready to go. And he just sat on the sideline. Then they're losing. He's like, all right, I'm going to go back in now. And he leads them down for a touchdown. And then the Steelers give up a touchdown to fall behind by three. And I am crushed because I've been telling you guys about this Eliminator Challenge.
Lunchbox had $1,200 on the line if he went all the way.
It's not on the line. He paid $100 to join.
But no, I paid $50.
Or $50.
But, dude, it's crazy. Still, Lunch has survived the entire season. It's a survivor pool.
There were 36 people.
He was one of three people at the tribal council that are left.
Yes.
His torch was still burning.
Did you ever do a buy-in?
Yes.
Okay, so you were eliminated once already.
Everybody has done a buy-in.
It's pretty impressive, but they all had a second chance.
Still very, very impressive. It's crazy you can pick that many teams right throughout an entire NFL season.
No, it'd be twice.
Okay, so twice.
Okay.
But still the torch is burning yesterday during the Pittsburgh
game.
Yes,
and so the first guy, he had the Saints. He had the Saints, and they fall down like 14-0.
Looked like
Bucks.
They were going to lose the game.
And I'm like, oh, yes. Okay, come on. Let's go. Let's go. And then they come back and win like 25-14. Annoying. So then...
But who dat? That's how the Saints do it.
Then I...
Who dat?
Me and the other guy had the Steelers. And all week, I had been leaning towards the Giants. The New York football Giants. And then on Friday, they rule Odell Beckham Jr. out. And I'm like, ooh, that scares me a little bit. Can the Giants offense move the ball without Odell?
Noodle arm.
Eli Noodle Arm. Can he handle it without Odell Beckham? Whatever. And I'm talking to my brother, and I'm like, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers have burned me in the years past.
Are you blaming it on your brother?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying they have burned me in the past. They were 8-point favorites. They went down to Miami, and they lost. Last year, they were 8-point favorites at home against Jacksonville, and they lost. Yesterday, they were 11-point favorites at
Oakland. They were 11-point favorites?
At Oakland, 11-point favorites. And I was like, I do not want to pick the Steelers because they... And he goes, that's just the right one. Just quit. The past has nothing to do with this. And I was like, okay. So I go with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they lose the freaking game. And then that stupid field, the Oakland Coliseum...
They slipped. The kicker could have kicked the field goal, but he slipped because it was crappy sod. The field crew needs to get the field ready to play on.
Well, that's the thing. It's a baseball field, so it's not the grass doesn't take as well or whatever. It's just a crappy stadium. That's why they're moving to Las Vegas, because they want a new, brand new, nice stadium. And they run that hook and ladder play.
Beautiful.
I was going nuts because I was already counting my money gone. Then they run that hook and ladder, and they get down to like the 25-yard line, and I am going bananas.
Smith-Schuster just took off on the hook and ladder. Yes. I've never seen a guy run as fast as he did.
And he tightrope down the sideline, gets out of bounds. I'm like, here we go, we're going to overtime. And then Boswell falls down on the freaking field goal. You idiot Steelers, this is what you guys do. When you're expected to win, you never win. You never win. You lose to the Chargers at home when you're up 23-7. Then you go to Oakland, and the Raiders celebrated like they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, they were going nuts.
When crowd John, was going. I mean, they won a game.
John Gruden was running laps around the field, high-fiving the fans. He was like, see, I don't suck as a coach. I'm not an idiot. He looked like that was the best win of his life.
There were some screen grabs of him that were just hilarious.
He needed that.
He was partying last night, but the team's won 3 games all year, Coach.
That's what I'm saying. He needed that.
He needed a win so bad.
Yes. He's been feeling like a loser, like just a big-time loser. Every game they play every week, they lose. He beats the Steelers? Yeah.
But also, they only have a couple games left at that stadium, and then they're outie.
Doesn't matter.
All next season?
And he's still a Raider for 5 years or whatever.
Nine more years.
So he needs it.
And so the Steelers just are so frustrating because I feel like they have so much talent, and I felt like they got cocky yesterday when they're winning. And they just don't put Big Ben in. Okay, so the Steelers, you're terrible. And then you're going to New England this week, and you're going to lose. You're going to lose to New England. That's 3 in a row, and Baltimore's going to catch you maybe for the division lead. I mean, just disgusting with that much talent.
Why do you think they'll lose to New England? Like,
because
they suck? This is what I've been learning. Anytime you have an automatic game that you think is going to happen, automatic, the Steelers will beat the Raiders. Automatic, the Vikings will beat the Bills. Automatic.
Back in the day.
Of these automatic games always end up being either close or an upset. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, look at the Dolphins. Automatic. The Patriots will beat the Dolphins.
No, because when you go to Miami, Tom Brady's 1-4 against Tannehill.
No, I get it. And last night, what else was another stat that was... I don't know. Maybe it's that one I'm thinking.
But I do agree with you. Out of all the games, I did look at that, and I was like, if I'm going to bet, I should just bet the Patriots to win. It's automatic. That's literally what I thought. But then I was like, no, I'm not messing with that crap. There's crazy stuff.
And that's why now you're going to have the Steelers going to New England, like, not automatic.
Well, that's not an automatic. That's going to be a pretty even line, probably 3.
Correct. And the Steelers may even come out, and then everyone's going to be like, all right, the Steelers are better. They beat the Tom Brady and the Patriots, and that's just how it's going to go.
And Connor, he was out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was out.
Oh, so you were working with a third-string running back.
Still, dude, there is so much talent. I said it two weeks ago. There's so much talent.
With Antonio Brown and Smith-Schuster.
So much talent.
Ben can launch it.
Yeah, and even when Connor was playing, like, it's just so much talent on that team, and they can't put it together, and they can't win games.
But you realize an amazing receiver core and a good quarterback doesn't necessarily equate to winning. I mean, so maybe their line sucked. Maybe the defense was terrible. There's a lot of other things that go into a game, like the Bears. They don't have an amazing receiver.
Well, yeah, they all have to put it together.
I know, but what I'm saying is the Bears just showed you don't have to have a name player on your team, and you can just go out and dominate. Like, how the hell did the Bears win?
But the Bears have talent, too.
What's their major receiver?
Allen Robinson.
That's crazy.
He was the number one receiver in Jacksonville, tore his ACL, and then they signed him.
Look at the running backs, Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Like,
Howard's a little bit more known.
These aren't household names.
Trubisky, not a household name, but what I'm saying is we got Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown on the cover of Madden. These guys are on the cover of everything. Big Ben, that doesn't equate to greatness.
Coach, you're talking about a name and superstardom versus talent.
But like, I'm saying what you're saying. You're like, the receivers are amazing. They have so much talent.
No, I didn't say they have names. I said they have talent.
We're learning the core players is where it's at. That's what the Bears just showed last night.
I don't know. I blame it all on Coach. What's his name?
Tomlin.
I mean, I really do blame it on him because he can't put it together. There is so much talent in
Pittsburgh. Do you think
they
have
cannot.
A relaxed week of practice?
That's what
is
I
it kind of Partyville?
That's what I feel like. I feel like when they have these games that they're supposed to, the no-brainers, I feel like Mike Tomlin must run a lax week of practice. Like, you know what? Look. We're looking ahead to the Patriots. This game, we're going to go in there and we're going to win. That's what I think he thought, and he wanted to protect Big Ben. That's why he kept him on the sideline. He's like, dude, this is the Raiders. We don't even have to put Big Ben back in the game. We don't have to worry about that.
Because he was out for a good amount of time,
yes,
right?
Yes, for most of the second half.
Or does the underdog work harder and study harder?
Of course,
harder
that happens, too.
I mean, which one, if you weigh the two, which one do you think happens more?
I think it's more of a look ahead, because sort of like the Vikings, when they got beat by the Bills, they were playing the Bills at home that Sunday. Coming up 4 days after that, they were traveling to Los Angeles to play the Rams.
That's
so
a look
what
ahead.
Are they, what are they thinking? Man, this is going to be a cakewalk. Let's just, you know, we'll just go in and we'll win, and then we'll go and play the Rams. So you start looking ahead to the Rams, and guess what? Buffalo comes up and gets you in the butt. That's what happens, and that's what happens, I feel like, to the Steelers.
Yeah, they got in the butt.
They got in the butt. They were looking ahead to the Patriots next week, and they're like, oh, my gosh, we're going to go in there. We don't even have to do much, and we can win this game. And then they take the lead, and they give up that last-second drive, but whatever. So, yes, I'm frustrated with them. Then the miracle in Miami.
Miracle. Amazing play.
Who was watching it live?
I didn't see it live.
I mean,
my buddy,
I was watching it on the little split screen.
I was watching it live.
They had it on TV.
On Red Zone.
Oh,
they
okay.
Just they went to it live, and they said,
you guys got to get the ticket.
There's
okay,
seven,
I don't have Red Zone.
I got the ticket, and it doesn't ever work on my TV. I can watch it for about an hour, and then the screen goes black, and I got to get my money back. I'm going to get my money back.
Yeah.
So anyway, the miracle in Miami.
You got to get your money back.
That's like
duh.
$80 a month. Coach, like,
no, it's $100 for the season. I
or
signed
whatever
up as a college
coach's
student.
Entire TV goes black? Coach, I would be calling them right now.
Yeah. Like, you. How many seasons did you not watch it?
No, this is the first
games?
Time I've ever
how
had
games?
It. This is the first time I've ever had it.
I know, but you've been complaining about this for months.
Yes.
Okay, coach, call them today.
So anyway,
jeez Louise,
the miracle in Miami. No, it was $100 because I signed
that's
up as a student.
That's a lot of money.
And I've got to get
my
money
for a black screen.
I get an hour of the games. Just relax.
Oh, my gosh. That was a great quote.
So,
his screen's black, dude. He's got to get his money back.
I
got to
get my money back.
Dude, my internet goes out for 2 seconds and I'm trying to get my money back.
Yeah.
So
the
anyway,
power goes off. I call the electric company. I want my money back.
Yeah, and I will get my money back. I just haven't had time. I've been busy.
Okay. Go ahead, coach.
So, the miracle in Miami. I mean, un-freaking believable. It was awesome to watch. Because usually they throw they do the little laterals, and it's all fun and games. And as it's developing, the announcer's like, oh, you know, this is going to end it.
The announcer says this is going to be the end of the game.
Yes,
that's
this
it.
Is going to be the end. Or Kenyon Drake, he's mad. Oh, he's got an angle. Gronk's and Gronk.
Oh, that was the best. I loved watching Gronk try to tackle.
Gronk looks like a bumbling idiot.
Dude, that took me back to when I played kickball, and I was like, I mean, this was like 4 years ago, and in my mind, I was going to round second and run all the way home, but my legs were not keeping up, and I fell flat on my face. That's what I pictured when Gronk tried so hard and just couldn't do it, man.
Dang.
I mean,
I loved watching
Gronk
him fall.
Was put in. He was part of the hands team in case they launched a Hail Mary. The problem is they didn't do a Hail Mary. They had a really fast guy running, and Gronk isn't going to be a defender.
He was the man to beat.
Dude, and you can see his legs buckling. You can see him dialing.
It was so crazy.
I mean, like, Drake, it was Drake, right?
Yeah,
Drake. I mean, just absolutely whatever move he put on Gronk at like the 10, unbelievable move because Gronk was like 5 feet away from him.
I didn't even see
the
move on Gronk.
He didn't even put a move on Gronk. He was running down the sideline and Gronk's trying to come over from the middle of the field. And Gronk, aka RoboCop, with all that gear on him,
yeah.
Like there's bolts flying off his elbow.
Screws.
There's screws coming out of his head. I mean, there's springs shooting everywhere.
Dude, and he didn't even touch him.
And he just starts falling, dude. It's like a short circuit of the little. Yeah.
The robot.
Robot. Mm-hmm. It's shutting down.
I'm trying to tackle you.
And he didn't even get a hand on him.
So funny.
So freaking funny.
That was probably the funniest thing I saw all day.
It was great.
So funny.
It was such a...
When I originally saw it, because I don't analyze stuff. I'm not a coach. I'm like, why the hell is Gronk in there? And then I'm like, oh, he's part of the hands team. They put him in case it's a Hail Mary. But it totally threw me for a loop. I was like, why is Gronk playing defense?
Okay, and at that point, why do you even have defensive linemen in there?
You should just have all hands team, right?
Why would you not just have fast people?
Well, you need blockers.
The defensive line doesn't need to block on that. They need to. I wouldn't even rush anybody. I would back everybody out.
You're talking about defense.
There's no way they can get by you if you all just back up.
Yes, if you just make a line across the field, you know, like 40, 50 yards down the field, he can't throw the ball 70 yards.
No.
It was a 69-yard play, I believe, is what they scored the touchdown on. So just go down to the 30 and have a straight line.
Exactly.
I do not understand.
Why don't you suggest that the next football coach conference?
Well, when I was coaching in the NFL, I just couldn't. They have their slowest human being as the last defender, which was Rob Gronkowski. I felt like Bill Belichick overcoaching, sort of like Greg Popovich did when he took Tim Duncan out in Game 6 against the Heat 10 years ago when Ray Allen hit the three because they got the Heat got the offensive rebound.
Okay, coach, get to your point. Back football.
He's bringing it all around.
That's what I'm doing.
I know, but we're already talking about some other game that happened years ago. Like, let's. So your point, you just overcoached?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I was trying to say. I was trying to say, sometimes they are too smart for their own good. Putting Gronk back there, I understand he's big and he can knock it down, but if you really think Ryan Tannehill can throw the ball 70 yards in the air, I don't think he can.
Hmm.
And then also remember back to the Miracle on the Plains when it was Auburn, Alabama, and Alabama kicked
the
field goal. And the kick six, and it was short. They always say there's a huge danger because there's so many big guys on the
field.
Whoever catches that ball has actually a great chance of returning it because there's so many fatties. You got to get the quick guys out there. It's crazy, though. These plays
But the quick guys can't tackle is the problem. I mean, so that's really the downfall.
Well, we were seeing it, dude, with Gronk. Gronk had no chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, he didn't even touch the dude, and he's a professional athlete.
Dude, I mean, he started stumbling.
When he's coming at Gronk, you can see when Gronk turns, and then it's like, oh, crap, I'm not catching this guy. I'm the last side of defense.
So, Lunchbox, you're saying put them all down the field, line them up like it's Braveheart, and hold, and just let them come at him.
Yes. I mean, I don't even know if you would, because you only have 11 players. I don't think you could.
Well, it's like Red Rover. I'm sure you can cover the 50-yard spread with 11 players.
But you can't
players.
Hold arms. You can't. You can't
Red Rover it?
No. But I'm just saying, why even rush the passer there? Why have defensive linemen in there? I know you just get back 20 yards, you know, just take five people and then have people behind that. It's so dumb.
And we're now kind of seeing, I almost think at the end of the game, if it's your last ditch effort, these hook and ladders are better than a Hail Mary. We saw Smith-Schuster. He took off for whatever, 40 yards, whatever he did. It was a great play. Hook and ladder at coaches instead of the Hail Mary.
I thought we were about to have the miracle in Miami and the oh my God in Oakland. I thought we were about to have two of the plays in the same day.
If you want to see the fastest I've ever seen a player run, watch the highlight of Smith-Schuster with the hook and ladder. Dude, when he got that ball on the hook and ladder, he came right around there. You're not stopping that dude. He was flying. You couldn't ask for a better last second play. Screw the Hail Mary. You're jumping up trying to get lucky and tip it. Just hook and ladder it to your fastest guy and let him take it.
Yeah, it's more entertaining to watch the hook and ladder because it either turns into like a circus, you know, act or whatever.
Both those were a circus.
I love it.
Dude, the Patriots.
You're right. Hail Mary is a 50-50 bet.
You could see the crowd start building. There's about probably, I don't even know, maybe a third of the stadium still there. They're all pretty drunk. You know, they're all hungover because they don't sell beer anymore. And they're all like, what am I watching? Oh, crap. And then they're going crazy. The like security guards are all partying too.
Oh, Miami, they were going. I mean, Kenyon Drake throws that football up in the stands. I mean, everybody was going bananas.
Dude, what a turning point, though. If you're a Dolphins fan or if you're on the Dolphins team, crap, man, we just lost the Patriots, too. We just pulled one of the most crazy end-of-the-game plays ever, and it was dope. And Gronk's falling on the ground, and Bill Belichick's pissed off. Like, that was amazing.
So you know what you got to look to? Bet against the Dolphins next week.
Because they're going to party all week?
They're going to party all week. That's the biggest win they've had.
Can you imagine if you played on the Dolphins, how hard they partied last night?
Oh, gosh. Because
they don't have practice on Mondays. You got to realize that. Most Mondays, they don't have practice. Tuesday, they probably don't even put on pads. It's pretty chill the first couple days, so you can pull off being hungover. I bet they were on boats. They were at Fountain Blue. They were at nightclubs, popping bottles. If there's any TMZ footage, dude, it is going to be of all them partying their asses off. You know it for sure.
They're playing the Vikings next week, though. I don't see them losing that game. I have no faith in the Vikings anymore. Coach, it's one of those teams that just shifted on us all season. Like, and it's just like, what happened to those guys?
What do you mean? They're a playoff team right now.
I know, but they don't really look like a team that's got it.
I mean, yeah, we'll see tonight. I mean, I think they're going to win tonight. So, against the Seahawks.
You think they'll win tonight?
Yeah, I think this is a very important game for them, and I think this is where they start getting it going. They've been without Dalvin Cook for a lot of the year. He's been out with hamstring problems, and that's a key to them. They got to run the ball, throw the ball, and their defense is getting a little bit healthier. But I said Pittsburgh goes to New England. New England goes to Pittsburgh next week, but I'm so frustrated with the Steelers. And then what other game was amazing? The Bears,
Cowboys, Eagles was
Cowboys,
dirty. Cowboys, well, Eagles. Come on,
man, that was an ugly game.
To see that the quarterback for the Eagles, Wentz, he was missing receivers. Is he not that amazing? Is he kind of just a good quarterback and not great? I mean, we built him up. When he went out, everybody's like, oh my gosh, he went out. Oh my gosh. And then Foles was awesome and they won the Super Bowl. Dude, I don't know if Wentz is that great. Dude, there was a couple plays that even the announcers were like, that's a throw Wentz has to make. He threw it in the ground. You got to at least get it to your receiver. He's misleading a couple receivers. I don't know if his balls are looking as great as they used to look. Like, he used to have good balls.
His balls.
I wasn't impressed with his balls yesterday.
The balls he's throwing?
Yeah.
The football?
I didn't notice his balls being bad. He may have made some bad throws. I think what you have to understand is I think the Cowboys defense is good.
They're dirty.
They are dirty, and they make you look bad as a quarterback.
Hey, Vanden Esch, your boy.
Vander Esch.
He is awesome.
He's legit.
He's good.
He's legit. He's the future of the Cowboys defense.
The Cowboys offense, though, man, just disappointing. They dominated that game. They should have blown the Eagles out. They would get down to the red zone.
And then turn it over. Or only get a field goal.
Miss a field goal, turnover. The one was a great play by the defensive back. Dak was trying to throw it into the corner, and that defensive back came off his spot. And just, I mean, it was a beautiful play by him. I don't blame Dak on that. But then the one where Dak turns it over in their own zone gives it. I mean, that was bad. That was real bad.
So it's Dak. The mistakes it seems that the Cowboys are making are Dak.
If you're going to look for a hole in that offense, it's Dak.
It's not Oatmeal. Oatmeal was amazing. Every time it seemed like he got the ball 5 yards.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes. I love watching Oatmeal. And then, guys, you got your new Dez Bryant, but 2.0. Amari Cooper's amazing. I love watching him play. I was going to text you guys, but I didn't get a chance. Like, Amari is fun to watch. He's almost a Smith-Schuster. He's almost a Julio Jones, one of those amazing receivers. I didn't know he was that much of a...
He wasn't. He wasn't that much of a threat in Oakland. Like, he just really wasn't. They were always waiting. When's he going to have
like
that
such
season?
A standout at Dallas.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing with him in Dallas. Lunch, do you know what makes him stand out
like
in Dallas?
When the trade happened, everybody was upset. And I said, listen, you're getting a number one wide receiver. So I think it's an okay trade.
A number one wide receiver that hadn't really performed the way they wanted him to perform.
He'd been to two Pro Bowls. I mean, it's just the last 2 years when the Raiders went in the tank. I mean, was it Derek Carr? Was it the offensive scheme? But his first 2 years in the league, he went to the Pro Bowl. So that tells me he was pretty darn good, and he was a top 10 draft pick in the NFL. So a lot of people thought he was a stud, and he was just wasting away in Oakland because I don't know what they were doing.
Well, he's a stud. That's for darn sure.
He's good.
Dude, he ripped one for like 70, and that was dirty. I mean, that'll bring a house down right there. That is an awesome. I mean, Dak led his receivers. Dak was good, but I mean, Amari, dude, if it was in the slant, boom, Amari got it. Boom, over the top, all the way for a touchdown. Amari was great.
But if you're looking at holes again in the offense, like there were a couple of shots there that should have been touchdowns. Like there were a couple where Dak overthrew by like 10 yards.
Dude, it wasn't Amari. It was a different guy.
Yeah, different receivers.
That's who it was. And he missed him by like, it wasn't good.
So, I mean, there are those missed opportunities where there's that accuracy in Dak. Like, I just don't know where it is. Like,
I want to know what's that comparable to. When Dak overthrows a wide open receiver by 5 yards, what is that comparable to in basketball or baseball? Just curious. Like, how bad is that? Is that like a pitcher... Just total,
a wild pitch, like Kershaw doing a
or
wild
a pitcher
pitch?
Having an inning where he gives up 5 runs. Like, how bad is that?
Well, it's different because, I mean, he's throwing it 50 yards down the field. So, and you got to think, okay, rush
professional,
right? But was the rush getting to him? Did he have to let it go a second too
was
early?
Was there a helmet or a hand in his face? Like,
So there's different factors. It looks like, okay, he was wide open, but if he was just standing there clean in the pocket and he should have hit him, yes, that you can say. But there are other factors. There's one weakness also is the Cowboys' offensive line.
Dak, they were getting to Dak a little
bit. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Dak is not having all the time. Dak gets hit a lot.
Oh, Dak gets hit, and Dak doesn't have two hands on the ball, and that's when he fumbles and they get in trouble.
Yes, a lot of holding calls on the Cowboys' offensive line because Tyron Smith wasn't, I don't think he's 100% healthy, so when you're not 100% healthy, how do you make up for it? You grab a little bit, you lean a little bit, you're not.
Hoping they don't catch you.
And guys are always kind of, when I see some
of
these penalties.
You could call holding on every play.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes they'll show a penalty, and I'm like, I didn't see the penalty, but I thought maybe that guy was holding. It almost seems like they're all kind of hold. Like that's your job. You're trying to hold the guy from key getting to your quarterback.
Yes. I mean, holding penalties, like that's part of the game. Trying to get away with it is part of the game. Like you said, everyone holds. But I hate when people just blame victories on bad calls or, you know, the refs were on one side or the other.
Oh, that was just a solid win by Dallas. If that last play of the game ended up being an interception and Eagles take it back, you'd have been like, oh my gosh.
Listen.
The Cowboys needed that. That was their win. That they just gave up.
No, they should. Yes,
the Cowboys deserved to win that game. That was their
the Cowboys race. Dominated all
they
game.
They did the whole game.
I don't know what the yardage was. I would say the Cowboys had double the yardage of the Eagles. I mean, they were in up and down the field all game. But when they get to the red zone, I don't know what happens, but they don't score. It's
maybe
just weird.
Derek gets scared.
Well, I mean, guys, a lot of teams when they get to the red zone don't perform well. I mean, it's the hard part of the field. Like it's,
but you have to be better than that. That's what I'm saying. Well, like if you have 500 yards of offense and you only have 12 points, that's not good enough.
Well, I mean, defenses are just better in the red zone. I mean, you got shorter, a shorter space to score. Like,
and I haven't seen
a different game.
That penalty they called on Oatmeal Zeke. I haven't seen it called. I mean, I know it has been.
It was a good call.
If you lead, very good call. If you lead with your helmet, even as a running back, you can get penalized for 15 yards.
Absolutely.
Usually, it's the defender helmet. Now they're saying offensive guys. If you lead with the helmet, 15 yards.
Yeah, and you're gonna watch it every game. How many people do that? So many players do that. And that's just how they play. But all of a sudden, they're going to call it.
I haven't seen it. It's weird seeing that penalty called on the offensive guy. I haven't seen it. I haven't been able to watch a lot of games this year, but that was weird seeing that penalty called.
I saw it a lot during the...
When it happened live, did you go, oh, great, penalty on Oatmeal?
Well, no, I mean...
Because I didn't either. I said penalty on the defender, and then I was shocked, and then it made sense. Then I started to realize the rule.
I like the call. I like the rule, but I mean, to say that... You know, that he's doing it. I mean, everyone does it. I was watching the Bears and the...
Rams.
The Rams. I mean, everyone was doing it. That's how they rush. That's how they try to get extra yards, put their head down and push. That's how they do it.
Yeah, but what he did is he went his helmet into the other guy's helmet. That's the problem.
Well, when you're not looking, what they always say is just like, keep your eye. If you're looking at your target, you're not going to get called targeting because you're not putting your head down. The problem is when you put your helmet down, you can't see what's happening. So if the other helmet comes in and they make contact, you get called on it. You may not have intentionally wanted to hit that other dude's helmet, but you just weren't looking, so you can't control that. That's why you get called.
Oh, I think Zeke knew exactly what he was doing. I was down below
his helmet.
Yes. Because that guy was going below Zeke, and Zeke went boom. Like, I mean, it was kind of like almost speared into his helmet.
Come on, Zeke. He's known for the hurdle. Go to your hurdle there.
Go that's, over, don't go
you know,
under.
What I'm saying, like, the Cowboys had 500, almost 600 yards of offense.
No, I
it
get
seemed
it.
Like it. And the Eagles had 246.
Yeah, that game shouldn't even have been close.
That's what I mean. Like, it was just the Cowboys' red zone offense. And the last play of the game, like, you can say, oh, that was a mark.
No, those are the rules.
The Cowboys just got lucky.
They got real lucky.
The catch? Well, yes, but I mean, I love the strategy of killing the clock, the overtime clock. Taking that drive as slow as you can, making those first downs.
Yeah, but the Eagles still would have had enough time to march down the field.
They had a little more than a minute.
They had a good amount of time.
But really, if the Eagles would have gotten it, it would have had to have been long passes, moving the ball fast. So I like that strategy.
Well, that strategy came out now with the new overtime rule. It's only 10 minutes. I mean, that strategy is pretty likely. Everybody's going to go with it.
Right. Well, it's a good strategy if you can make it work. I mean, if they get stopped, I mean,
well, yeah, I mean,
on
you
third
kick
down.
A field goal
right, you kick a field goal. But yes, it was a good game. I just think the Cowboys, it was the lucky play in the end, but they should have won way before that.
And if you're a Cowboys fan, you watch the Cowboys intensely every week. That's just the Cowboy way. Like, yes, they should have scored two other times. They should have taken advantage of other opportunities that they didn't, or they shouldn't have fumbled. You know, that's the way the Cowboys play. It stresses me out. It's a thing. It's just how they do it, and I hate it.
So,
but I love my Cowboys.
A couple weeks ago, we had the question, going forward, if you had to pick a QB, would you want Dak Prescott or Jameis Winston? And we all said Dak Prescott. Let's ask the question again after yesterday's game. Dak Prescott or Jameis Winston going forward?
I go Dak.
I still go Dak. I love what the Dak does for the Cowboys. I mean, Dak is a solid quarterback. He has mobility. He has good decisions. His accuracy is weak sometimes. But other than that, it's just what a team needs. Not a superstar, just someone that can carry the team enough to lead them the way that he does. He's not perfect. He's not great. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But he's a solid quarterback. Winston's just a gamble.
Winston, I don't even like that comparison. Winston just did you see anything that impressed you yesterday? They were ahead of the Saints.
The last few weeks, he's impressed me a lot. I think he's looked a lot better. He's been more protective of the football. He did throw an interception yesterday, but I just think talent wise, he's better than Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
he has a bigger arm. He's more. If I'm looking, I want Jameis Winston over Dak Prescott. Just what I've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks since he's been named the starter again when he got rid of Fitzmagic, I think he's been playing pretty darn well. And I think Dak is very limited. Very limited.
Really?
As a quarterback. Yes.
Dude, I like Dak, man. Well, after watching that game, I like Dak.
Explain why he's limited.
He's just not very accurate, and he misses a lot of throws, sort of like you said. And he doesn't really throw receivers open. Like the one in the corner of the end zone to Amari was good, but they have to be open for him to throw the ball. Like he doesn't seem to fit it in tight windows, is what I'm saying.
If you've noticed, like in the past couple of weeks, I think like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, they mentioned that he has a tendency to look at his target the entire time from the start of the play to the end of it. But if you've watched the last 4 weeks, 3 weeks, he's changed that. He follows a receiver with his eyes. And then quickly,
well, even on the big throw, you could tell he was faking.
You
he was
can
looking
tell
the other
that
way
it's something that he's been working on.
Coach, that's pretty easy. We're trained that in like elementary school. Coach, you look a different way, and then receivers. Same thing in basketball.
Yeah, but when you only have
the
2 seconds,
no look pass.
Coach, everybody tries that no
I
look
get
pass.
It,
you got to look that safety off. Got to move the defense.
But
with
it's
your
not
eyes.
As easy as you think when you got a bunch of dudes coming at you in 2 seconds.
No, but I feel like he should have worked on that a while ago. I mean, he's in the NFL now. They're like, listen, he really needs to work on his 3-step drop.
But really, I mean, his acting's terrible. That's why I guess we can all see it now. But yes, you can tell he's been working on that.
Also, the Chiefs yesterday impressed me with their win over Baltimore. That is the kind of win the Chiefs needed to prove to themselves that they're good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a struggle. It wasn't. It was ugly. It was. You know what I mean? Like it was. They yucked it up. That's what Baltimore does. Their defense,
yep.
They make it so hard on you. And that is the type of team you do not want to play in the playoffs is the Baltimore Ravens. Because they control the clock. They have the ball. They just run. And
I don't think they get in. Titans squeeze them out in the wild card. I think they're dead even right now. It's like a Colts-Baltimore-Titans race right now for that final wild card spot.
I would like to see their schedule. I don't know who they play.
Dude, Titans got an easy one. Cakewalk. Hey, we got the Redskins. Butt fumble coming to Nashville.
No, butt fumble's not playing anymore, I bet.
But the Titans, they're going to lose this week to the Giants.
Butt fumble needs to retire.
Real tough one against the Giants, and then to end the season against the Colts.
Exactly. So let's not, I mean, they don't have an easy schedule.
I like their game against the Redskins, but yeah, Giants, sure. Giants did play very well.
But yes, the Redskins, or the Ravens, you know they're running the ball. I mean, they are running the ball with Lamar Jackson or the running back. I mean, they do all this action, and they're able to do it, which is just so crazy to me. He had 71 yards. Edwards had 67. Kenneth Dixon, 59. I mean, they just control.
Who had 71? Lamar running?
Yeah. 13 carries for 71 yards.
That's like a running back stat.
Yeah,
that's
basically can't stop that.
And that's what I mean. They do so well of running it and controlling the clock and just eating it up. Your offense doesn't get very many possessions. So then what happens when you get the ball? You feel that pressure like, we got to score. And their defense is good enough to keep them in games. But the Chiefs, Very well done. They're the favorite in the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
They're now the favorite.
And I would say the Baltimore Ravens are a little bit more exciting now that they have Lamar Jackson. Dude, Flacco's boring. I'm tired of seeing Flacco flame. That guy sucks. He's just boring to watch on TV.
So that's what you care about is if they're boring to watch on TV?
Lamar's a highlight reel. I would watch Louisville, and I didn't even care about the game just to watch him. He was cool. He was fun to watch.
He's got
to
learn how to protect that football. He runs around with it like a loaf of bread out
Does
there.
He really?
Oh, my goodness. He's fumbling and so He did it. He fumbled at the end of regulation, and the Chiefs recovered, and then they missed the field goal.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable. And then last night, the Chicago Bears took care of the Los Angeles Rams.
I was shocked. When I saw this score this morning, didn't bet it, just woke up in the morning and went, what? They held the Rams, what, under 10, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The Bears defense played really well.
Like they do.
So the Rams defense.
Did the weather have an effect? It was like 20 degrees.
Freezing, dude.
Absolutely the weather had an effect.
Did you see Jared Goff try to throw a football? It's like he looked like my five-year-old trying to throw a football.
So now you're ready to jump on the weather does have an effect.
Well, it does. That was never my argument. My argument was that the team from the north doesn't have an advantage. I'm not saying that's what my argument is.
Well, Chris Collinsworth last night on the broadcast said,
he's a California kid. Like he said specifically, I don't know if it's because he's a California kid or what, but that weather's really gotten to Goff.
He said when he played at Florida and they would travel north and he said they'd play in 32 degree weather, he goes,
In college?
Yes.
He's guaranteed 4 years to be in college, so he was there for 4 years.
But you're not listening to me. He said when they would have to go play up north when it's 32 degrees, it was like walking out, you got hit by a semi-truck. He goes, it was cold, it was miserable, we hated it, and it's a huge advantage.
There you go. And it's coming off Lake Michigan, even more cold. It'll cut right through you.
Trubisky, how long has Trubisky lived in Chicago?
Two years.
You think he has an advantage over someone who's... No,
Eddie.
It's not cold in Chicago every day of the year, guys.
If you're playing football,
got cold in Chicago a month ago. Like he has a 1 month advantage. Like get out of here. There's no difference. Go,
Eddie. Chris Collinsworth was a professional athlete. He said it on the broadcast.
Chris Collinsworth says the stupidest crap ever. Like that's the one dude I would never listen to.
So why do they build domes then? Why do they build domes if the weather doesn't matter?
Great point.
No
way you can come back from this.
Guys, they build domes so they can kind of keep it even for everyone, but it's not because the people that live in the north have an advantage. Guys, listen, if it's really like the old days,
why do you have at your house? Why do you have a roof?
What?
Continue with your point.
Why do they play the Super Bowl in only domes in warm weather places? Because they don't want to get teams from the north.
So they can play at the best ability. It's kind of like your argument with baseball. Like, I hate October baseball because it's cold. They're not used to playing baseball in the cold. Yes, humans play differently in the cold. Whether you're from the north, you've lived in the north for 2 years, or you lived there 10 years. Like, I understand. Listen, if you were born in the north, if you were raised in the north, yes, you can probably play better in the snow. You probably know how to play better in the ice. Yes, you're probably more experienced. But if you went to school at Florida and you now play for the Bills and you've been there for a year, you're not going to be better than the dude that's been there his whole life. It's just not, they change teams so often is my argument. That they're not like, yeah, he moved there last year, so he's really good in the snow. Get out of here. It just started snowing yesterday.
The difference is the Rams practice in the heat
LA. It's about the practice.
They practice in the heat in LA.
Then practice
they
in don't a play, dome get, and crank up the freezer.
They don't pl- they
it's
don't
like,
get
really.
Getting hit in the cold is a lot different than getting hit in the warm.
My point is Trubisky, really. Like if he's been practicing throwing the cold in the cold
for 2 years, it makes a difference.
Coach, again, it's not cold in Chicago every day of the year. You understand?
Coach, I hear lunch. I totally agree with lunch.
Trubisky
on this
wasn't throwing accurate yesterday either.
But like, he doesn't. It
affects both players, guys, because when it's freezing cold, it sucks and it hurts. And your joints get swollen. And it doesn't move the same. It doesn't matter if you live there a year or not.
Coach, but those Bears practice in that.
Yes.
Goff's been chilling in the sun, dude. It's like 80. He played last night with a sunburn.
He played with long sleeves. He played with like a white t-shirt underneath because he was so cold. Because that's in his head. That's mentally, he's already like, oh my God, it's so cold. So you're thinking about the cold. You're getting hit in the cold. It's a lot different than playing in Cowboy Stadium where everything's the same. Like there's no difference from playing in the, that's why the Green Bay Packers don't put a roof on their stadium. Why? Because when you come up there, you're going to they have heaters on the sideline and stuff and all the Southern teams, they're gathered around those heaters. It's just the way it is. They're used to those conditions because they practice in it. They live in it for 6-7 months out of the year.
That's why I can't even imagine a team from the South winning a Super Bowl just because in the playoffs, you have to play in really cold weather and those teams are conditioned for it. I mean, so I'm talking like a Saints team, Buccaneers.
Home field advantage to the Saints.
I think it is so hard for those teams to win a Super Bowl.
Yes, it is. The Saints need to have home field advantage unless they're going to go to L.A. where it's sunny. They don't want to go to Chicago in January to play a playoff game.
Oh, that's
miserable. They play in a dome, and they're used to the nice, beautiful, controlled setting. No wind, no cold. They set it at whatever temperature they want. They go to Chicago, it's like, oh my God. It is miserable out here. It's windy. It's bad.
That's why I love Chicago. I love Green Bay for the home field advantage. I don't get why the Lions built a dome, and I don't get why the Indianapolis Colts built a dome.
Or the Vikings.
Right along the Great Lakes. Those are perfect for weather. You can have that weather advantage. They totally removed the weather advantage.
Because the Vikings don't even want to play in the cold. They're
Nobody wants to
play, even if they're from there, but because it sucks, and they're not as good in the cold.
Coach, practice sucked all week for the Bears, but guess what? They won. Dude, that's all that matters.
Because they're better. I mean, dude, they're better than we thought they were. That's why. I don't think it had anything to do with the weather, because they both sucked in the weather. That's why the score was so low. Like, they both sucked in the weather because weather sucks. Like, it doesn't matter if you're born there or not. That's just my argument.
The Bears defense, it's easier on the defense when it's cold outside. When you're playing in that weather, it's easier for the defense.
Because I feel like the ball's going to be colder. It's tougher to catch. It's just like a rock throwing around.
It's like field goals. You can kick a field goal longer when you're sitting in the sunny weather in L.A. When you're playing in Chicago and it's 20 degrees, you're not going to try a 50-yard field goal because you ain't going to get it there.
Right.
That's why the Dallas Cowboys kicker kicked a 62-yarder, because he's in a dome. It's 100 degrees out.
Right.
That ball just floated through the air. That ball could have gone 200 yards. Not really. It could have gone like 105.
I agree with that.
I was impressed with the Bears' defense. And Trubisky looked terrible last night. He threw three interceptions.
Luckily, it was cold.
No, he just looked. I mean, he just overthrew three receivers.
I mean, I'm telling you, both of these guys, Jared Goff, good quarterback. Trubisky, he's proved to
Goff
be a good quarterback.
Goff threw a lot of interceptions.
Guys, they both look like my kids throwing the football around, because cold weather sucks. And that's what you get with cold weather. Their arms weren't moving the same.
But. Okay. I guess you still say that weather is not a big deal, but then you say weather is a big deal. So
I don't understand how you don't understand my argument. Like, my argument is not that weather is an
advantage. So the teams that go to Denver, okay?
Yeah, because
altitude, is that a big advantage or not?
It's a big advantage to play in Denver. The game in Denver is going to affect the game, period.
Yes.
It doesn't put Denver Broncos at an advantage.
Because it does. That's what's so funny. Like,
my point is that not everyone playing for Denver hasn't lived there in 10 years.
It's not the living, it's the practicing the week before.
They're doing the mini camps, the training camps. They're doing it at altitude.
Guys, a lot of these teams are on the road a lot of the season. Like, they're not even home a lot. Like, they travel a lot.
They practice every week in Denver, and then they travel to the game. So they are used to travel.
So if you're playing Denver, here's my question. If you're playing Denver and you're the San Diego Chargers and you're going to play Denver, you practice in San Diego and then travel the day before and go play in Denver?
Yes, you travel on Friday.
Why not go 3 days before and get used to the bad altitude, the high altitude, and get used to it the way Denver does? And it would be a little more understandable.
Like, that's not how they do it, though. Like, they tried to do it for the Mexico City game.
Yeah.
Like, that's altitude worse than Denver.
Yes.
The Rams traveled to somewhere in Colorado, wherever the Air Force Academy is, I don't know, because they were going to practice all week at altitude and then go to Mexico City. That's what they were going
to
do.
Yeah, just kind of get used to it.
That's what the Patriots did last year, because they played Denver and then they stayed in Colorado and practiced at altitude before going to Mexico City. But since the game got canceled, they, after traveling there, practicing, they had to travel back to L.A.
But the reason they stay over, that proves that the weather, altitude's even a bigger deal than weather, but they know that practice the week before deals and leads up to the game.
Yeah.
But that's proof. Since teams actually stay there days before, they know that. So I don't know why, like last night, why didn't the Rams chill all week in Chicago?
That's just not how it works.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that needs to change.
That's what I just said, yeah. I mean,
but teams don't do that. That's kind of bizarre. They do it for the altitude, but they don't do it for the weather. If they stay days before, man, if I'm going to play in Chicago, I'll be like, guys, we're flying to Chicago on Monday. Get ready for the cold. We're practicing all week in it. That's weird they don't do that. Super Bowl, they leave weeks ahead, don't they?
I leave like a week, but it's a dome. Usually it's a dome when you're playing in the Super Bowl or a beautiful, nice, outdoor, going to be sunny weather, except for the one when they played in New York. because they were opening the new stadium right. and they wanted to show
I feel
that
like
off.
College, for the most part, is different because, I mean, they recruit closer to their region than they do across the country for the most part. I mean, they will bring people from across the country. But if you're from that region, you were born in that region, and you play for that region, and you've been there for 4 years. In the pro, these people just go left and right. They go West Coast, East Coast, South, North. I mean, I just feel like it's just the, you know, they're not acclimated like they were born in that region.
For sure.
Yeah. And so people are on, like last night, like, oh, Lunch is going to go crazy about the Bears win. I was pumped about the Bears win. But if that game happens in LA, I think it's a totally different ball
game. It almost is a blowout, right?
Definitely higher score.
Because the Bears have.
Definitely higher score.
You think the
game.
Bears can keep up with the Rams offense?
No.
High power? Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think the cold weather, being at home, really helped the Bears in their defense. You go to LA and you play that game. The receivers are a little bit looser. Yes. They're getting off the line faster. Everything is different without the weather. That's why the Bears are good. It was good. It was a good win. It was a solid win. They stymied the potent offense. Todd Gurley got nothing going. It was fun. It was a good win. I'm not going to go crazy and act like we're going to the Super Bowl. It was a good win.
I will say, I have a friend that lives there, and she looked miserable. She literally shivering.
She was at the game?
Yeah, shivering the entire game. It was 25 degrees or something. That's not even wind chill. It was easily in the teens probably with the wind chill. Right off Lake Michigan, that stadium is on the lake.
It's awesome.
It's one of the few stadiums that, it is on the freaking lake, dude. It could have been in the single digits with that wind coming off Lake Michigan.
Yeah, and congrats to Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
After watching it, I feel bad for Tua because Tua got penalized for having such a good team.
Tua got penalized for getting hurt.
He also got penalized for getting hurt in the SEC championship, but he got penalized because he didn't have to play fourth quarter, so his numbers aren't as outrageous as Kyler Murray's. He got penalized because his team has a defense, so he doesn't need to keep playing and bring these come-from-behind wins and go crazy. Where Kyler Murray, OU's defense, giving up 50 points a game, so you got to score 55, so your points are... You have to keep scoring and scoring, so your numbers are going to look outrageous. If Tua played the fourth quarter in all these games, he would have the same numbers.
They did a study, and their numbers were the exact same if he would have played the fourth quarter. They like just generated it. Their numbers were about equal if he played more quarters.
And so, I'm fine with Kyler winning. I just think Tua got penalized for being on a supposed better team. That's it.
Supposed better team?
Yeah.
They are a better team, all right?
Well, they play. We'll find out. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That he didn't have to play fourth quarters.
Sure. No, so I understand what you're saying.
I'm saying suppose a better team because they were up by so many that he could just go sit down and not worry.
It's just
about.
Funny. You play for Alabama and it's like an automatic. Like, all right. I mean, I play for the greatest team in America, like greatest college team, and I'm going to get penalized and not win the Heisman for that. Like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, but
because you think that it's like, you know, I'm a winner. Going to Alabama, we're going to win. I'll probably win the Heisman. I win. Not in this case.
I also think, I wonder if a little bit the voters are thinking, okay, Kyler Murray is going to, he's done after this year, so let's give him the Heisman. Tua is coming back next year, so Tua will be he'll be the obvious choice next year. Starting out, he'll be the leader in the clubhouse, to the favorite to win the Heisman next year. So they're like, you know, he's got another year. 2 years, we can give it to him next year. Kyler's only got this 1 year.
And guys, can we stop bringing the third guy to the Heisman ceremony?
It's embarrassing.
If there's only one guy that's a front runner, cool, bring one guy. If there's 10, bring 10. If there's not a third guy that's really close to in competition, don't let him come.
Oh, good point.
Dude, JT Barrett was the most awkward third wheel because all the montages, boom, Kyler Murray, boom, Tua. Whenever they had to do something for JT Barrett, it's like, oh, we kind of just got to throw this in there so it kind of seems like he's got a chance.
Coach, they should do it like the Miss America pageant, where there's 50 of them, you know, and that way it's just like they all hug each other and hold each other and like, all right, we're okay, we're all losers, we all didn't win it.
Dude, JT Barrett wasn't even close
that
to
sucks.
Them.
He's got no one.
He had nobody, and they almost the interview questions were like almost that he had a chance. He had no chance. Nobody thought JT Barrett was gonna win the Heisman. It wasn't even close.
Now, when like you're nominated for an Academy Award or nominated for a Grammy. You're like Lunchbox, Grammy nominated Lunchbox. Do you say Heisman nominated?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, do you say like, yeah, man, I was nominated for Heisman. I didn't win it. I wasn't even close.
Interesting.
Like, I wonder if that's a thing or you just kind of forget it.
No.
Let's just white out, take it out of history.
He's still, and by the way, just so you know, JT Barrett doesn't play quarterback for Ohio State.
What'd I say?
You said JT Barrett.
What am I talking about?
It's Dwayne Haskins.
My bad.
He still got the
I love it when he says crap like that.
He got the bronze medal. If you look at it in those terms.
In what?
For being the best college football player.
Oh, okay.
So he's the third best college football player. Not bad.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about Barrett.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying. TJ Barrett. So if you're Dwayne Haskins, I'd go around and be like, man, I got third in the Heisman voting.
Yeah, but you didn't win a bronze, though. Like, but if they did give you a bronze Heisman trophy, like or like a aluminum Heisman trophy, you're like, I won the aluminum.
Like, but you're telling your grandkids one day, they're like, oh, so were you a good college football player? Like, how good were you? Well, I mean, I got third in the Heisman voting. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's still pretty impressive.
So the voting took place, obviously, before the ceremony. That's who they how they knew.
No, they did it right at the ceremony.
They do?
Everybody in the crowd just typed in 1, 2, or 3.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, they do it from all of, like, because sports writers and past winners.
And who are the Heisman guys that are on the stage? I mean, so those are the guys that kind of really don't got a lot going on. I mean, it was a random group of, I mean, yeah, you had Desmond Howard and you had some other guys, but it was a random group of about 15 guys. Like, you showed Ricky Williams, and then, hey, you saw Troy Smith from Ohio State.
Yeah.
It seemed like some guys, they had a couple days in their schedule where they could easily swing up to New York.
But you can live off the Heisman for the rest of your life.
I know. Just by taking it places?
Well, just sort of like a gold medalist. You go out and give speeches and everything because you won a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. That means you were an elite college athlete.
Yeah.
You were the best quarterback or the best athlete in college football that year.
But they don't get all the Heisman guys on that stage. A
right.
lot of them
of course
like,
not.
Oh, I'm busy. I got
some
family,
are playing. So. Some are, you know, they got real jobs. I mean, not everybody.
Sure.
But you can live off that for the rest of your life.
Troy Smith looks a little different, though.
Like, so, you can represent whatever school you went to. Let's say you went to Ohio State and you won the Heisman. You don't think Ohio State wants to pay you to come to functions? Be like, hey, we're going to have Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith.
Easily.
Okay, let's see, Coach. Hold on. Because I remember when I was in high school, Ty Detmer, his dad was the head coach for Mission High School, which was like right down the street from where I grew up.
Okay.
And he won the Heisman. Ty Detmer was a quarterback for BYU at
now
the time.
I think he's a high school coach.
Okay, so he's a high school coach, and you say that you can live off of being a Heisman winner for the rest of your life. So I just Googled how much he's worth. Let's see what he's worth. $50 million plus.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. That's amazing. $50
million? Yeah. Coach, you're the most amazing college football player in the country. That's why you win the Heisman. So it makes sense you can have speaking appearances.
Wait.
Oh, he did the math wrong.
No, because that was his NFL when he played in the NFL. Oh, Coach, I don't even think he's on here. I don't think his network's
on. But that's okay.
He may have blown it all.
No, he doesn't have to blow it all. He's a high school coach. That's what I'm saying. Some of them have real jobs and they don't just go to speaking engagements. Some people want to go do other things. It's okay.
Well, I remember it was a big deal. Like, his dad, he would come down and go to some of the high school games. We're like, dang, dude, that's a Heisman winner. And then we would watch NFL, and he was never playing, like, really.
Really?
I was like, okay, that's pretty much it. But that happens to a lot of them.
A lot of them.
A lot of Heisman Trophy winners.
A lot of them.
Did you guys watch the Heisman ceremony?
No.
Dude, I watched the whole thing. I got to give props to the host, Fowler.
He's good.
Dude, he is amazing. The way he's able to jug it. I mean, he's got it.
Seems like a stress ball to me.
No. Dude, he has to interview the Heisman guys. Tebow did a little interviewing, but he interviews them. Then he interviews the coaches. He's able to talk to Saban. Then he's the host at the stage. Then he's introducing montages. The job he did over the course of an hour, amazing. I mean, most people aren't that well-spoken and can keep it that cool, calm, and collected. Dude, most people
stress.
Yeah,
we struggle on this podcast.
Dude, we can't
that.
Even do a podcast, and this guy did something broadcast live in front of all the greatest football players in one room.
Coach, Ty Detmer, $2.5 million, my bad.
Not bad.
So he's a millionaire.
Not bad. Doing pretty well for himself.
Really. Just because he won the Heisman. I mean, there are so many people that played quarterback in college and aren't doing anything.
But he went
cars.
To the NFL.
Yeah, for a little bit and didn't play a lot.
But that's okay. And he's a high school football coach now or something. So he's making some money. And whatever. I don't know. That was the Heisman. And if you guys... I know you guys did not watch UFC 231 this weekend.
No,
dude, you didn't have a UFC party.
You guys missed the fight of the year.
You bought it?
Yes.
So let me get this straight. You have Sunday ticket that hasn't worked all season because it goes black when you try to watch a game.
No, I can watch an hour of the game and then it goes black.
But you paid for a UFC fight.
Yes, I love the UFC.
What is that, $100?
$65.
Dude, if you love the UFC, that's a decent price. I would pay that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I only like the huge fights. I like the Bones Jones, the Cormier.
Oh, Bones Jones is coming back.
McGregor. That I'll be ready. Dude, I like the UFCs where it's a marquee guy, huge. But this one was a decent one, or
Max
what?
Holloway and Brian Ortega. Oh, my gosh, dude. Brian Ortega got whooped. I mean, he is just getting pounded. I mean, just they had to call the fight out to the fourth round because he went to his corner and his left eye was just swollen shut.
Like Rocky?
He just kept going. I mean, he had blood coming down his face. He's still throwing punches, and Holloway is just dancing and teasing him in front of him. And before he went out for the fourth round, Max Holloway turned to Joe Rogan, who was announcing it, and goes, "It's it. It's over after this round. Fourth round. This is it. This is what I'm going to take him out." Yes. He goes, "I'm going to take him out this round." And he beat the crap out of him.
Is your wife watching this with you, or is she in bed?
She watches some of it, and then she'll go to bed, it just depends.
Dude, I can't even sometimes get my chick to watch a football game, much less a UFC.
Dude, and then there was one earlier in the night where this guy gets him on the ground, and he drops an elbow right on the dude's forehead. And, I mean, I've never seen a gash like that in someone's forehead. And then he starts choking him, and, I mean, blood was just squirting out.
And the crazy thing is, then other fighters have to fight on that same ring.
With all the blood. Yeah.
That's always kind of got me.
They try to clean it up, but you can still see it.
Oh, they don't clean it up, dude. Sometimes you can see it everywhere.
Yeah. It was such a good fight. It was such a good card. It was so fun.
Worth your money?
Oh, worth my... Oh, yes.
Have you ever went to one in person?
Yes. And I went in Houston.
Did you enjoy it?
You loved it.
Anyone out there, he loved it. I'm going to be different on that. I'm telling you, maybe my seats were so far away, I couldn't tell which fighter was which fighter. And you have to know the color of trunks, because if you're not following there, you'll see it, I think, on the screen inside the arena. They'll do maybe black trunks, white trunks. If you don't memorize the trunks, you're not going to know who's fighting. If you bet it, you have no idea what's going on. I went to it for 2.5 hours. Was confused a majority of the 2.5 hours because it's not the same as on your TV screen. They make it a lot easier when you're at home. You're in person, good luck.
Hey, do you get the same effect if you just watch it free, like on Friday nights on F1?
Oh, yeah, fight night, whatever. Yeah, I watch if it's a good fight, yeah.
Okay, so same effect. Sometimes you just save yourself $60 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time with my kids. I got a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. And
they can't be watching UFC.
Hold on. Finding good family. Oh, God, that guy's face looks
messed
up.
That's Ortega's face. I mean, he was showing me his face. Crushed.
Dude, not only his face, look at all his busted blood vessels all over his face. His neck, it looks like he looks like a floater, like in a river. Somebody's been dead for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
He had a broken nose and a broken thumb, but he was still out there fighting.
And he won?
No, he lost.
Okay. Hey, so I have a hard time finding programming for my kids. So I found that like sports is the one thing that's like, because sometimes you watch network TV and they're cursing up a storm or people making out or having sex scenes on national, like a network. And I'm like, what is happening? Like sports is really the one programming where I'm like, the kids can watch it. We watched UFC one night. My kids loved it.
They did?
My wife loved it. My two kids loved it. I liked it. Listen, when there was blood, it got a little awkward. They would be like, ooh, like that's kind of gross or whatever. But they still liked it. And to me, that was good family fun.
There you go.
My wife used to hate it. She used to think it was barbaric. And she was like, I can't watch this. Now she'll sit down and watch it because she goes, okay, I kind of understand what they're trying to do. Yeah. And I understand.
Technique.
The technique. And she watches it and she sees what they're trying to do. And she understands it a little bit more now that she's watched it over the years because I watched so much of it. But yes, it was a great card, and then the NFL yesterday was banana. We are set for a great last month of the season, boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, Vikings travel to Seattle. 3.5, Seattle's favored.
I already picked the Seahawks. I already put my money down. I put the Seahawks. It's not my lock, but I mean, it's what I bet last night.
Yeah, I had the Bills this weekend, and they really let me down. I don't know why I would ever pick the Bills.
Well, because they were playing at home.
They were playing at home.
They were playing at home, and it's cold up there, and they're supposed to have the advantage. But guess what? New York's also from up there, too.
No, that wasn't why. I just thought the Jets were done. I thought they'd given up on the season. They were quitting, and they came out, and they won. I thought the Bills were better than that, but it happens. You lose some, you win some.
Yeah, and I like whenever I hit a lock, or whoever our sore losers bets guy is on Twitter, he takes about 24 hours when I win one. If I lose one, he will respond probably during the game. But I always love there's a lot more of a lag whenever I win one. But thanks. I've won two in a row now. So when I do have a lock, maybe you start to listen now. I'm heating up. Always go with the guy that's on fire instead of the guy that's ice cold like Eddie.
No, I'm good.
Well, I mean, with us, though, percentage-wise, I think you're in the 20%, correct?
Sure, but I've got a good one waiting on. For 2025, humans will not be on Mars.
Okay.
So right. I still got a bet.
Ray, you got one tonight?
No, I don't.
I mean, this is going to be a good game. Hopefully the defenses show up.
What did I get here? I got a parlay going.
It was a rough day yesterday for me. I lost in fantasy in one of my playoffs by .06 also, so... I lost the Steelers. I'm down. I lost my other fantasy team with Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees. None of them came to play. It was a rough, rough day.
But even though you missed out on the $1,200, the fact that you continued the whole season, dude, that's
it was
something
fun.
To be said about that.
It was worth the money. It was
that
worth
is
the
cool.
$50.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. Coach, I may save next year, I may save all of my Eliminator, Fantasy, / Bowl Pick'ems, all that money that I've been wasting for years. I may save all that money and just put it all in my gambling website.
Okay.
I may do that because I have more fun just doing individual games than doing eliminators. Gosh, eliminators suck when you put $100 down and you're out in week 3 or week 2. Like, it just hurts.
It does hurt, but it's so fun.
It is fun. Sorry you lost, Coach.
Hey, does anybody have any locks or anything for tonight?
Well, I'll go ahead and shut the door on what I already bet.
Well,
so
then shut the door on it.
I'm just going to pick Seattle -3. Is it 3.5 now?
It's got a little hook.
I hit it at 3.
Okay.
So my money was at 3. Oof, guys, it's up to you to do that 3.5. I mean, I just feel like Seattle's the better team. When I close my eyes and picture Seattle, I see them complete. I see Russell Wilson completing pass after pass after pass, moving that ball. And then what's his name? Chris Carson just freaking blowing.
Chris Carson?
Is that his name?
That's the running back.
I mean,
wow.
Blowing through people. That's what I see. That's what my vision is for tonight.
Wait, what about your connection of the year? You don't see Thielen going wild up there?
Well, it was the connection of the year, but you guys never gave me credit. So I was like, I'm not going to say that anymore. If no one's going to give me credit. Like I did say 2 weeks ago, the Steelers suck, man. They just can't put it together. And everyone argued with me, but I'm not just going to stop saying things.
Guys, I can do a lock. I just realized I'm hot. When you're hot, sometimes you don't have to put as much research in. Do your shut the door, and I got a lock.
Okay, so my shut the door is Seattle -3. I guess just do 3.5. Trust your gut. 3.5 and parlay it with an over 46. That game will go over 46. Let's make some money tonight and shut the door.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner in our pick in our survivor pool from
a winner?
The one that we started week one, the sore losers one.
Announce it.
Robino 2001's picks went 14-0. And they won it yesterday with the Lions and the three people that were still left. There was four people. They all lost with the Broncos.
Can you go back or is that it? Read me what they picked throughout the season.
Rams, Broncos, Bears, Packers, Patriots, Vikings, Falcons, Steelers, Chiefs, Chargers, Saints, Ravens, Titans, Lions, Robinos. Hit us up on Twitter.
He won it with the Lions. That is brilliant. Like, Robino, dude, that's how you play an eliminator. Like, listen to how he ordered those. Guaranteed good teams at the beginning. Then in the middle, he started getting lucky with some Falcons, hitting them when they were hot.
And towards the end, dude, he had a Titans in there and he had a Lions.
He had nothing, but he knows it's going to be 50-50. There's going to be a win. One of these teams is going to win.
He started confident with the team, the big daddy teams.
And then he got lucky with some of those teams that were hot in the middle of the season. Oh, dude. And
so, Robino, hit us up on Twitter. We need to get you a prize. We'll figure it out.
And I also heard he had a Pittsburgh in there. He hit them the week they won.
The 1 week
not
they
if
won.
I'd have picked him that week. Freaking
hey, Coach, and then he wins it with the Lions. Got Robino.
Hey, congrats.
That's how you do it.
All right, boys, I got your lock.
All right, what's your lock?
All right, guys, I am red hot. So let's go ahead. We had a huge weekend. You bet some money. You won some money. Take out $50. Don't tell your wife. I'm going to the NBA. I'm not confident with NFL. So NBA tonight, Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. The game's a little bit later, 8 o'clock Central. Maybe if you're on the East Coast, it's going to be even later. Maybe you have to stay up, put the kids to bed. The Denver Nuggets -2 over the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are bad. Let's go Nuggets -2. Let me lock it up. Thank you. In the Mile High City, Denver Nuggets -2. Oh, lock it up.
What's the Grizzlies record?
What do you mean the Grizzlies are terrible?
Yeah, give me that record.
Are they a little bit better?
Coach, what's that record?
Yeah.
Who's their best player, Jermichael or Jermichael? Does he even have that guy, Jermichael Green?
How about Mark Gasol? Yeah. Mike Conley.
Yeah, if you want to see
Chandler
Gasol
Parsons,
just shoot the ball from 20 feet out.
Slow-mo Kyle Anderson? Come on, dude.
Hey, dude, give me the Jokic.
The Nuggets are good.
I love the Nuggets.
The Nuggets are real good.
Memphis 15-10. Denver 17-9.
There we go. Give
Coach,
me the 17.
Come on.
Win.
That's an even. What's the
2 points?
Minus two.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Have a great day,
good
everybody.
Luck,
hit us up on Twitter, Sore Losers Show. I don't know if it was any good today. It was all over the place. We were nuts.
That's all right. We had a long day today.
Yeah. I'm tired.
I'm really tired.
All right, we're out.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.